Okay, Rabbi Isai, first of all, I want to begin by basically dedicating this shiur, Zeichen Nishmas, Bachur who is killed, Yachmiel Meir ben Nisim. That the heart's mamish broken from the whole Indian. I don't have to tell you. The heart's mamish broken. So, if the Torah's Achasidus came at the end of time to fix a little bit of our heart, a little bit of the heart that's broken before Mashiach comes, shall we be zoichim et Hashem to see that the hearts of his family should be somewhat, to whatever possible degree, to be sewn together. And we should be zoichim to see only simchas. There should be no shayd v'shever b'machaneinu. By all Klai Yisrael, there should only be simchas me'at of ad olam. Until now, when we were studying Chassidus, we're basically studying the hashkofes, the shitas, very, very deep and very involved, very complicated. The most difficult subject was emunah pshuta, simple faith, that we've been discussing already the last couple of months. And I decided, this was the urging of a few chaveirim, that instead of working on from the beginning with the machshava, with the hashkofa, I would try something that I think would certainly be a lot easier, and ultimately would be as, hopefully, as enriching as far as the machshava and hashkofa is concerned, that we would begin by spending a few weeks talking about a particular tzaddik. Instead of going by the machshav, I'll go by the tzaddik. So, to begin by talking about a particular tzaddik, 2-3 weeks about whatever we were told from other tzaddikim about his life, to include in there some maisim, some stories about the tzaddik, trying to use makaris sources that are holy, that we have as authentic as possible. So to talk about that particular tzaddik for a few weeks, and after talking about the tzaddik's life in the context of the historical events of the time, then to focus on the teachings of that particular tzaddik. This way we'll come out, Mir Hashem, we'll talk about the Ishbitzer, the Rebbe Pinchas Karitzer, the Rebbe Bunim from Peshischa, the Kotzker, Mir Hashem, the Rebbe Reb Nachman Breslov, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Chozer from Lublin. I'm talking about years and years, Bez Hashem, we should be together. So hopefully there'll be more of a hargosh of a connection to a particular tzaddik, and it will be something which will be more a feeling of being more down to earth, more lamaisa, taking into account how the difficult nature of the subject. Such a difficult inyan. But in order to do this, we really, as Jews or Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, we have to daven b'tchilu rechimu. We have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu with great love and fear that we shouldn't, God forbid, I shouldn't, God forbid, misinterpret any of the stories of the tzaddikim, nor should we take lightly the smallest details of their lives that I'll discuss. And to tell you the truth, I mean, I'm reminded, let's begin with a story, actually. There's a story there was a very, very big yontiv in Berditchev, because the Chayzer from in Lublin, because the Berditchev was coming to visit the Chayzer from Lublin. The Berditchev was coming to Lublin. Lublin, as you know, is one of the largest Jewish cities in all of Europe. And the Holy Rebbe of Lev Yitzchak was coming to visit. The entire Lublin, every single Jew in Lublin put on his or her Shabbos best, and every store was closed, and the whole city of Lublin was preparing to greet the tzaddik of the generation, the Berditchev. And as everybody was going, everybody was already going outside to wait for the wagon. So the only one that was missing was the Chayzer himself, the seer of Lublin. The Rebbe of Lublin wasn't there. And everybody was worried, where's the Rebbe? They wanted him to be at the head of the committee greeting the Berditchev. And one of the chassidim went back to the Beis Medrash, and he saw that the Chayzer was sitting in his seat crying uncontrollably. And this chassid walked over to the Rebbe And he says, Rebbe, is there something wrong? Is there something I could do to help? And the Chayzer said, the Bedichev is coming. Reb Lev Yitzchok is coming. So the Chassid said, Baruch Hashem, we're all waiting for the Rebbe to lead us to be Makabel Panim of the Tzaddik of the generation. So the Chayzer said, you see, all of you, you think that I'm a great Tzaddik, and I could fool all of you. You think that I'm a great Tzaddik. But the moment that the Rebbe Reb Lev Yitzchok looks at my face, I'll know that I'm completely unworthy of being your leader, and I'm a Rasha, I'm worthless, I'm nothing. And he couldn't stop crying. When Jews get together and they talk about tzaddikim, they tell stories of tzaddikim, discuss the lives of the tzaddikim, one should try to feel a certain amount of hachna, of humility. When we draw into the world those souls by talking about them, as all the Svarim tell us, that when you talk about the tzaddikim, you draw their souls mamish into the world. And the extraordinary power of talking about tzaddikim, telling stories about tzaddikim, which I'll discuss as we go along, Mitzvah Hashem, the power of talking about tzaddikim. We have to really daven that we should be worthy of welcoming them into our presence, and that we should be zoiche to sense a little bit of hachna, a little bit of a sense of awe and fear, of humility, of being the descendants, the students of such great people. Having tried to excuse my impudence at taking upon myself to talk about tzaddikim and to discuss their lives, so we'll begin with a tzaddik. We'll begin talking about a tzaddik who has fascinated me most over the last 10 years or so of my life. I'll say that about each tzaddik. But this is the first tzaddik who has fascinated me most over the last 10 years of my life. The Holy Rebbe Reb Mordechai Yosef Mishbitzer, the author of the Sefer Me'ah Shiloach, the one who began that chain of chassidus that's called Ishbitzer Radzin, the Rebbe of the Holy Reb Tzaddik from Lublin, Reb Leib Eger, many of the great tzaddikim of Poland. Ishbitzer Radzin was wiped out by the Nazis. There's hardly a trace left, starting a little bit again, Baruch Hashem, in Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim. But in order to understand the world of Ishbitzer, in order to touch the edge of that amazing world of Ishbitzer and Ishbitzer Chassidus, we'll study Torahs in the Me'ah Shiloach and the Beis Yaakov. We first have to take a little bit of a trip through the world of Peshischa and Kotzk. Now these are names that you've probably heard. Kotzk, everybody heard. Peshischa, some people heard of. But we have to begin with Peshischa and Kotzk, because in order to understand the revolution of Ishbitzer, in order to understand the real revolution that took place in that tiny little shtetl in Poland, we have to know where Reb Mordechai Yosef, where Ishbitzer was coming from, what he had been through, what was the climate, the spiritual climate of that time in Europe. The origins of Peshischa in Kotzk was with a Jew, Reb Yaakov Yitzchok, who was known as the Jew, the Holy Jew of Peshischa, the Yid HaKadosh, the Yehudi HaKadosh from Peshischa, Reb Yaakov Yitzchok. This Reb Yaakov Yitzchok, the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew, the reason that they called him the Holy Jew, Chassidim say, is because each day, the Yid felt as if he had just become Jewish. That's what he used to say, as if for the first time in his life he discovered his Judaism. So the Yid HaKadosh, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchok from Peshischa, was one of the closest Talmidim of the Chayzer, of the Seer of Lublin, who I mentioned before. But gradually the Yid HaKadosh moved away from the Chayzer and established a completely new path in Chassidus. What was the difference between the way of the Seer of Lublin and the Holy Jew of Peshischa? The Chayzer, the Seer, emphasized the role of the Tzaddik. The focal point in the world of the Seer of Lublin, coming from that world of the Holy Rebbe, Rabbi Elimelech from Lezhensk, which we'll discuss in Mitzvah Shem in the future, the focal point of the world of the Chayzer was the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is the Roya Neman, the shepherd. The Tzaddik is a Balmoifis. The tzaddik is a master of miracles. The tzaddik is responsible to mechazik the chassidim, to heal his followers. The tzaddik distributes tzedakah to the followers. But the essential focal point in Lublin by the Chayza was the role of the tzaddik as the leader of the community of his followers, as the father of the community of followers. The Yid HaKadosh, who grew up in that world, by the Yid, the concern shifted from comforting the masses. The basic role of the Chayza, the role that the Rebbe from Lublin saw himself in and understood was the role of all the tzaddikim, was basically to uplift, to comfort, to warm the masses of people. That's the traditional mold. When we think of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that's how we generally think of him. Whether that's accurate or not about the Baal Shem Tov is not for now. But certainly the Seer of Lublin, like the Rebbe Elimelech from Lezhen, saw the tzaddik's role as primarily being one of counseling and comforting. And this would take place also with miracles and so on. The Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew from Peshischa, instead of focusing on this comforting of the masses, he created a new ideal to raise a group of elite Hasidim who were seeking spiritual elevation. And in order to accomplish this, he focused on four basic points, it seems to me. He focused on four basic points. First, a renewal of the centrality of Talmud Torah, of learning. Not to say, God forbid, that in Lublin, by the seer, Torah was not studied. The seer himself was an extraordinary scholar. But it's very, very clear that in the world of Lublin, in the world of the seer, tefillah, davening, emunah pshuta, simple faith, was the call of the day. Whereas the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew of Peshischa, who was one of the Gaonei Hador, was one of the geniuses of the generation, by the Yid HaKadosh, Talmud Torah was once again seen as being the crown glory of a Jew. And the Talmud Chacham was again restored to his place in Jewish society, in Hasidic society, which was new for the time, that the Talmud Chacham would be restored to his place of importance in the community. Therefore, the emphasis was that the Rebbe, more than being a counselor and more than being a comforter, the Rebbe is a teacher. The Rebbe is a teacher, and the Rebbe is a Talmudic scholar, a Talmud Chacham. That's the first point that the Yid from Peshischa focused on. The second, an almost violent opposition to the use of miracles, to revealing miracles. Not to say that the Jew from Peshischa did not believe in the power of tzaddikim performing miracles. He certainly didn't. He saw himself by the Rebbe, the seer from Lublin, by the Rebbe from Lublin, miracles were all over the place. And the Jew from Peshischa was very familiar with miracles. Nevertheless, he felt that miracles are drawing people more and more away from the essence of Torah and Emunah. And the general masses were descending into a superficial and superstitious sort of lifestyle. Oysis and Moivsim Ba'abnis Mnechom, they used to say. That Oysis and Moivsim, miracles and wonders, that belongs by Mnechom. That's not for us. We don't need that in order to be Maminim. There's a famous saying from the Balatanya, who was also not known for loving Isis and Moivsim, that the Balatanya was asked what miracles he saw by the Mizmitra Magid, by his Rebbe, and he said miracles were rolling under the table, but we were so busy learning, we didn't have time to pick them up. The Jew from Peshischa had no patience for miracle workers. So again, this is a second thing that he focused on, a snagdus, a resistance, and an opposition to the Rebbe as a miracle worker. The third thing that he focused on, now this is going to strike the Litvaks among us as very distasteful. He, the Bedavke, was in favor of lengthy hachonis, preparations for tefillah, for davening, that would always, in the case of the Jew from Peshischa, take him way beyond the Zman Kriya Shema and Zman Tefillah. So Shachus could be in Peshischa at 10:30 in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning. Mincha could be in the dark. Marv could be sometime in the early morning. In short, the Zman Tefillah were not respected in Peshischa. We'll talk more about that later on. He felt that Tefillah is something that requires tremendous, tremendous spiritual preparation. And therefore, part of his teaching was to advise. Remember, he was dealing with an elite group of Hasidim. He did not have hundreds of thousands of followers. And he felt that more time is necessary in order to prepare. Obviously, that was going to arouse tremendous, tremendous opposition, not only from the Misnagdim, but even from the Hasidim. And as we'll talk about in a few moments, there were serious, serious doubts as to whether or not Peshitta should be allowed to remain as part of Klal Yisrael. And there was an attempt on the part of great tzaddikim, Hasidic tzaddikim, the Misnagdim didn't have anything to do with them, but on the part of Hasidic tzaddikim to excommunicate the Jew from Peshitta. We'll talk about that, or his followers. We'll talk about that in a moment. The fourth and most important emphasis of Peshitta was the importance of the individual, which the Jew from Peshitta felt was also being lost. It came together with his business of miracle working and the role of the Rebbe as being a consoler, counselor, and comforter, that more and more the individual and his particular struggles, his particular nekudos, were being forgotten, and Hasidus had become to a great extent a social movement instead of what the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid originally envisioned it to be, which is a great spiritual movement. Last week I mentioned in Shul a story. I told to the fellows in Shul, we were talking about the Rebbe Moshe LeKabrina. No, not Rebbe Moshe LeKabrina, that the Rebbe, Rebbe Motel Lechavitcher, that after he was Nifter, his son Rebbe Neuchel took over, and the Chassidim were very upset, because they saw that the son had different customs from the father. And among the Chassidim, that's not done. The son had his own hanhagas. In many ways, he was different from the father. So they discussed it among the elder Chassidim what to do. And finally, one person was chosen who would have the nerve to go and to present the complaint of the Chassidim to the Rebbe. And this elder among the Chassidim went to the young Rebbe and said, Rebbe, you know, we noticed that there are many things that the Rebbe does that are different from his father. And we were wondering why this is so. So the Rebbe said, it's not true. I'm exactly like my father. My father imitated nobody. And I imitate no one at all. I'm exactly like my father. I don't imitate anyone. The emphasis of the individual, the koiches of the individual, each person finding his own way, this was something that took root in Peshischa. Later on, this was going to become a very, very powerful movement in the world of Kotzke. But this began in Peshischa. Now, what all this was leading up to was that it would come to a point where ultimately the Jew from Peshischa would no longer be able to stay with the Chayzer from Lublin. And there were young men that were gathering around the Jew from Peshischa. We have many records of the Chose's disappointment with this entire event, and how he saw this as being, in certain ways, a rebellion against his Malchus, against his Hanhaga. And the final break with the Chosen von Lublin took place after Napoleon's invasion of Russia in the year in 1812. At that time, the Chosen von Lublin, the Seer von Lublin, joined together with a few other tzaddikim, the Rebbe Reb Mendel from Rimanov and the Kozhentsev Maggid, that these three tzaddikim joined together in an effort to bring Mashiach. And they engaged in all types of fasting and in Yonim and Kabbalah to bring about the coming of Mashiach. They saw that time with Napoleon and the defeat of Napoleon. There was a tremendous debate among the tzaddikim whether to support Napoleon or to support the Tsar. Baal Tanya supported the Tsar, and there were many other tzaddikim that supported Napoleon. Napoleon was promising the Jews equal rights, and he, as you know, he granted them, he even gave them reshus to have a Sanhedrin, and he invited a Sanhedrin to convene in Paris, and so on. So this was seen by the tzaddikim is a time of the days preceding Mashiach. And the Chosef Lublin, together with his chaverim, with his other tzaddikim, made this huge spiritual effort to bring Mashiach at that time. All three of these tzaddikim died that same year, by the way. The Chosef Lublin died in a remarkable way. The famous Nefilah, the falling of Simchas Torah, which we'll talk about when we discuss the seer, when for no apparent reason he was thrown out of his window and ended up like a couple of miles out in the forest on Simchas Torah. And he died Tisha B'Av that year. But this was when the final break took place. The Chosef sought to bring Mashiach using Kabbalah and other kinds of tefillahs and so on. And the Jew from Peshitzchah was very much opposed to this. The Jew from Peshitzchah was very much opposed to this entire thing. We have a saying that the Yehudi said at that time that it is no trick to be a miracle worker. Any Jew who has attained the level of spirituality can overturn heaven and earth. But to be a Jew is truly difficult. So the Yidak Kaddish said to make miracles and to make miracles, to turn over heaven and earth, any Jew who has attained some spirituality can do that. We'd all like to try. But any Jew could do that, but he says, but to be a real Jew, that's difficult. Al Kaponim, there was this break between Lublin and Peshitzchah, and the Yehudi died a short time after the split. His son was Rabbi Yechmiel, who was an extremely mysterious, deep person, but the majority of the students of the Jew from Peshitzchah went to the great tzaddik, the Rebbe Reb Simcha Bunim from Peshitzchah. Now, again, Mitzvah Shem will talk about these tzaddikim separately. The Rebbe Reb Simcha Bunim from Peshitzchah, in the first part of his life, was a pharmacist. Because of that, there was tremendous opposition to him becoming a Rebbe. He felt that he was posel. It was known that in the early part of his life, he wore a suit, and he went and he had traveled in many business trips to Germany, and he was in Danzig, and we have stories about the Rebbe Rebunim, the tzaddikim told that during the time that he was in business, he brought back many, many, many people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They say a story that the Rebbe Reb Simcha Bunim Peshitzchah, he used to go into these places, into kretschmers, into bars where there were Jews that are sitting and playing cards and drinking. And there's a story that they say that they were dealing out the cards, and the Rebbe Reb Simcha Bunim was a businessman. He sat with these other Jews and they were drinking. And the story went that they would ask, that the Rebbe Reb Simcha Bunim would ask the other fellow, the other Jew, what do you have? I'm not sure what game they were playing. It wasn't spit, I suppose. That's the only thing I remember. So, what do you have? So he would say, I have three jacks, and I have, four kings. It's possible to have four kings, right? There are four of each. And I have four kings. So then they would say to Reb Simcha Bunim, what do you have? He says, so Reb Simcha Bunim is sitting there crying. He says, four kings, there has four kings. And he started to scream, there's only one king. And he would talk to these people, and afterwards he'd take them on the side. And many, many, many Jews came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from those years that the Reb Simcha Bunim was in the business. Anyway, there was opposition to him becoming Rebbe. Nevertheless, the vast majority of the followers of Peshitzchah went to the Rebbe Reb Simcha Bunim, who we'll talk about him separately, and he led Chassidus of Peshitzchah for 13 years, from 1814 to 1827. He saw the goal of his life as developing, nurturing, applying the ideas of the Jew from Peshitzchah, of the Yehudi, of the Yid HaKadosh. That meant internalized intellectual spirituality, very much against external displays of frumkeit, of ruchnius, a hatred for COVID, a continuous emphasis on idwarness. Now, this would sometimes come out. This would sometimes surface in something that Peshitzchah was famous for, which was rude behavior. Rude behavior. Since the emphasis was on inwardness, it was not void in Peshitzchah to be mevatel. Like, for instance, you had big rabbanim and big ga'onim, leaders of kehilas that would come to the Rebbe Rabbunim from Peshitzchah, and they, you know, they'd have to wait online and they'd have to stand in the back. And this rude behavior was part of the emphasis on pnimius and inwardness. And also, now this is one of the major causes for the opposition. Also, there was sometimes the appearance of a certain laxity in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. There was an appearance of a certain laxity, a certain laxness in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. They say, this was said later on in Kotsk, but this is in the tradition of Peshischa. They said, what's the difference between the Chassidim of Kotsk and other Chassidim? So they say that the latter perform mitzvahs openly. In other words, all the other Chassidim, when they do mitzvahs, they do the mitzvahs openly. And they commit averus in secret. But in the Chassidim of Kotsk, commit averus openly and perform their mitzvahs secretly. So this was seen as the difference between Kotsk and the other schools, Peshischa, Kotsk and the other schools, where there was such a hatred for an outward display of frumkeit, for an outward display of madregas, that sometimes there would be the appearance of a certain kind of a laxness in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, which was really not true. But primarily because of this, also the Zmanei Tefillah, the fact that the times of davening were so neglected, so it reached a point where there was an attempt to put Peshischa in Cheirim. There was a famous wedding that anybody who's ever studied Chassidus knows, the famous wedding of Ostila, where the grandson of the elder tzaddik of the generation, the Ohev Yisrael, the Abter Rav of Abim Yeshua Heschel's grandson, was being married. Then that was a wedding where all the Chassidus Rebbes of Poland and of Russia, Galicia, Poland, Russia, all came to that chasna. And very few people were interested in the chasna and kala. This wedding was seen as a major opportunity to air the differences between the different groups. And the opponents, at that time, the hottest issue was Peshischa. And the opponents of Peshischa were going to use this as an opportunity to sway the elder Rebbe of the generation, Ohev Yisrael, to agree to put Peshischa into Cheirim, to excommunicate the Rebbe Rabbuna from Peshischa, and to put an end to this whole, what was considered a revolutionary path in Chassidus. And five of the foremost students of the Rebbe Rabbuna were sent to represent Peshischa at the wedding. The Rebbe himself did not go. The students were led by the great Chiddush HaHarim, who would later on become the first Ger Rebbe. The Chiddush HaHarim was considered to be by many the greatest scholar of the generation. So the Chiddush HaHarim led five tzaddikim. They went to represent the Rebbe Simcha Bunim at this wedding. In the end, we have some documents, recordings of things, not audio-visual recordings, but documents recording the interesting debates that took place regarding Peshischa. The conclusion was that the Ohev Yisrael, the Abter Rav, refused to put Peshischa in Cheirim, and he ruled in favor of Peshischa. But despite this, it did not really quiet the machlokas. But from that time and on, from the time of the wedding of Ostila and on, Peshischa was viewed begrudgingly as being part of mainstream Chassidus. So nowadays, for instance, no one will look at Ger Chassidim as being a fringe element in Chassidus. Ger Chassidim are considered to be a major part of Chassidus. And the Geras, of course, are nowadays pretty much what's left of Peshischa and Kotsk, with small groups from other rabbis. But Ger is the main representative that we have now for Peshischa and Kotsk. So it became established as part of the mainstream Chassidus after the great wedding of Ostila, when the Ohev Yisrael showed great affection for the followers of the Rebbe Rabbunim and refused to put them in Cheirim. And in general viewed them in a favorable way. The school of Peshischa, in addition to the emphasis on Gemara, a new emphasis on Talmud Torah, pushed on Gemara, on learning, on Rambam, which we see in Ger nowadays also. Besides that, there was a de-emphasization of Kabbalah. Kabbalah was not studied openly in Peshischa. Instead, what was emphasized in Machshava were the writings of the Maharal. The tzaddikim from Peshischa, the Jew, the Yid HaKadosh from Peshischa, and his great student, the Rebbe Rabbunim, they brought back the Maharal, Mamish, the Ramachayim, Mason, Lagab, the Maharal. The Maharal was known as an extraordinary, as an astounding tzaddik and Talmud Chacham. For the most part, for 150 years, his svarim were being neglected and gathering dust. gathering dust in the Batei Midrashim of Europe. The Jew from Peshischa, in Peshischa, the Rebbe Abunim, and then later on in Kotsk, and then later on with the Chiddush Arim, and the students of Ger, the students of Kotsk, meaning Sochetshov and so on, would revive the teachings of the Maharal and view the Maharal as being the Rebbe of all Hasidus. Therefore, in truth, as we'll talk about very often in Mitzvah Shem, when we study the Torahs of the Tzaddikim, to understand a great part of Hasidus, one has to spend time learning Maharal. Maharal is the pnimius, is the basis of all Hasidus. Along with others, the Shalach HaKadosh, the Sereshis Chachma, but the Maharal, especially in, among the Polish Hasidim from Kotsk, from Ger, from Peshischa, that whole school, they relied heavily upon the teachings of the Maharal. Also, the Kuzari of Rabbi Yehuda Levi was a very important sefer. A very important sefer in Peshischa. In addition to that, the Moreh Nevuchim of the Rambam was greatly admired and respected. A sefer that in by the Chozer you wouldn't dare take out onto the table. In Lublin, the writings of the Rambam were, if not forbidden, were certainly not at all, encouraged to study the Rambam's philosophical writings, whereas in Peshischa, the Moreh Nevuchim received tremendous, tremendous respect and was studied regularly. The leader of the Chassidim of Peshischa was Rabbi Menachem Mendel from Tomashov. He's not usually called Rabbi Mendel from Tomashov. He's much more famous as Mendel from Kotsk. He moved to Kotsk. Now, his style was completely different. We can't even talk about the Kotsk now. His style was, I think with his style, the ik there was fear and truth. And we'll talk about Kotsk, Mitzvah, much, much more. The closest disciple of the Kotsker was the Rebbe Mordechai Yosef from Izbitzer. The closest disciple of the Kotsker was the Izbitzer, Rebbe Mordechai Yosef. Let's talk for a moment or two about Rebbe Mordechai Yosef, just biographically, and then come back to Kotsk. Rebbe Mordechai Yosef himself, the Izbitzer himself, was born in Poland, in Tomaszów, in the same place as Rebbe Mendel from Kotsk, in the year 1800. The Izbitzer was born in the year 1800, and came from a very miyuchasdika family, that went back to Marami Padua, the Marami Padua goes all the way back to David HaMelech. His father was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yaakov died when Rabbi Mordechai Yosef was a child, was a small child. His father had died, but they were a very wealthy family, and therefore Rabbi Mordechai Yosef, for the most part, grew up in a way that was different from most of the Jews living in that time. Most of the Jews at that time lived in horrible, abject poverty, terrible poverty. Rabbi Mordechai Yosef was raised as a prince. He didn't have his father, but he had a tremendous amount of mishpacha that were concerned for his learning. And he grew up basically without having to work, without the usual difficulties of Jews at that time. And he was known very quickly. He became known as an extraordinary Ilui, an extraordinary genius in learning, a tremendous Amkon. We have descriptions of the time from when he was a child, that a person who lived mamish in a different world, from when he was very, very young, stopped playing with the other children, had very little to do with the outside world. He was physically weak and sickly from the time that he was born, and this persisted throughout his life. Now, in Tomaszów, the Rebbe Mordechai Yosef had an older friend, and his older friend was Reb Mendel. Reb Mendel from Tomaszów, the Kotsker. He was the one, the Kotsker was the one who introduced Rabbi Mordechai Yosef to Hasidus, and he took him in the year 1819. Rabbi Mendel from Tomaszów, the Kotsker, took Rabbi Mordechai Yosef in 1819 to meet the Rebbe Reb Simcha Bunim. We don't know what happened, but we know that he was there for a very short time, Rabbi Mordechai Yosef. He sold his house, he sold everything that he owned in order to be near the Rebbe, to be near the Rebbe Abunim. He spent 9 years in Peshischa. He didn't leave. He spent 9 years in Peshischa together with the Rebbe Abunim until the Rebbe died. And there is evidence that there is an argument among the scholars. There's evidence that he would go home just for Pesach. Others say he didn't return at all. But he was basically, he stayed there with the Rebbe Abunim for 9 years. In that base medrash of Peshischa, there were hundreds of young men, the finest of the Jews of Poland at that time, the most extraordinary geniuses, Talmid Chachamim. The rising stars of Polish Jewry were all streaming to Peshischa. Peshischa by this time had evolved into a large movement. During the days of the Yid HaKadosh, it was very small and select. But more and more, much to the distress of the Misnagdim, more and more of the brilliant young men who were thirsting for spirituality and heard that there's something happening in Peshischa, they were leaving the yeshivas, leaving their homes, and were going to the Rebbe Bunim. The one who was put in charge of the younger students was the Rebbe Mordechai Yosef. Rebbe Mendel from Kosk was in charge of the older Talmidim. I'm just going to tell you a few of the names of the tzaddikim who were there at that time in Peshischa, which was like a factory for the tzaddikim of Poland. I'll mention a couple of the names. But so we just mentioned Rebbe Mendel from Kosk, who was known as being as bringing to the world the fire of truth of Emes. Rabbi Itzel from Vorka. The Rebbe Rabbi Itzel of Vorka will talk about Mitzvah Hashem separately, all of these Bez Hashem. Rabbi Itzel of Vorka was known for his extraordinary chassidus. Rabbi Yitzchak Meir from Gur, from Ger, the Chiddush Arim, was most known for his brilliance in Torah. The Rebbe Rabbi Henochel from Alexander. Rabbi Henochel from Alexander was known for his extraordinary chacham, his wisdom, his etzes. The Rebbe Rabbi Yankele from Radzamin was known for his amelus, his mesiris nefesh, his self-sacrifice for Torah and for the Jews. The Rebbe Rabbi Zeb Strickover, Rabbi Wolf Strickover, who was known for his cleverness. Rabbi Shlomo Lev Lenchner was known to be a remarkable Baal Maifas, a worker of miracles. And that didn't belong really in Peshischa, so we'll have to talk about that afterwards. Rabbi Shlomo Lev Lenchner was known as a great worker of miracles. Rabbi Avram Moshe was the son of the Rebbe Bunim, was known for his holiness, for his kedusha, for his tahara. Rabbi Avram Moshe, the son of the Rebbe Bunim. Rabbi Shraga Feivel from Gritza. His tzidkus. The Gritza was known for his tzidkus and for that he gave away everything he had for tzedakah also. The Rebbe Rabbi Sommer, Consul of Kavio, was known for his midas. Rabbi Sommer was later on going to be very instrumental in perpetuating the teachings of Peshischa and his Sefer Mishmeres Yisomer. These were the students, some of the students at that time, who were studying in Peshischa. But without a doubt, the one who was considered to be of the greatest depth, whose amkus was absolutely awe-inspiring among all of these amazing people, was Rabbi Mordechai Yosef Mishbitzer. His Rebbe said about him the following: Kamohu kimei hashiloach. The name of the Ishbitzer Sefer is Mei Hashiloach. This is traced back to what his Rebbe said about him. The Rebbe Abunim said about Rabbi Mordechai Yosef, Kamohu kimei hashiloach. He is like the waters of the Shiloach, of the spring. The Shiloach. Shezormim la'at la'at. The current, they move very slowly. Avol chofrim amok ma'od, amok amok. But they come from a deep place, a very, very deep place. They say that by the Ishbitzer it was impossible to detect any kind of external hislavas. When he davened, he would stand quietly. There was no shuckling, there was no screaming. The Ishbitzer was known as being a person that was like the Meir Shiloach, the way that the Rebbe described. On the 13th of Elul, 1827, the year Tovkuf Pei Zayin, so the Rebbe Abunim from Peshischa passed away, and there was a split that took place. I hope I'm not boring you too much. I don't want you to feel like you're in a history class, although pretty much that's what we have to begin with. A split took place. Part of a small group of the Chassidim of Peshischa anointed the son of the Peshischa, Rabbi Avram Moshe. But the larger group went to Rabbi Mendel from Kotsk. And so too, Rabbi Mordechai Yosef went to Tomashov, to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Mendel, his friend. And there began a folk saying, in Tomashov brent a fire, as Geta for Anayer, that there's a new fire. There's a new fire that's burning in Tomashov. It's exploding in Tomashov. One of the disciples of the Koska said, truth is like a nail. and the heart is like an iron wall. In order to put the nail into the wall, one needs a very strong hammer. Our Rebbe can drive a little truth in with the hammer. That's the Kotzke. In Tomashov, and then later on in Kotzk, Rav Mordechai Yosef was placed in charge of the younger Talmidim, and one of his major responsibilities was to give a shiur each day, which was said to go for around 6 or 7 hours in Shas and Gemara, a shiur in learning. And he mostly was working with the younger chassidim. A short time later, I don't know exactly the year, it was only maybe 2 or 3 years, around the year 1830. Rabbi Avraham Moshe, the son of the Rebbe Bunim, passed away. Some of the chassidim then, from Rabbi Avraham Moshe, went to the Kotzke. But most of the followers of Rabbi Avraham Moshe, whose nature was much gentler, much calmer than his father's, and certainly much gentler and calmer than the Kotzker. So most of the students of Rabbi Avraham Moshe, I'm showing you how Peshischa branched out. So most of the students of Rabbi Avraham Moshe ended up by the astounding tzaddik, the Rebbe of Yitzhak Lvorka, one of the most beloved tzaddikim, whose children were later on going to found the dynasty of Amshinov that I'm sure many of you heard of. Rabbi Yitzhak Lvorka. Now Rabbi Yitzhak Lvorka and the Kotzker were best friends. This is something that is very difficult to understand, because they had completely different temperaments. I think it could best be summed up with a famous saying of the Rabbi Yitzhak Lvorka himself. When somebody asked Rabbi Yitzhak Lvorka, how is it possible that him and the Kotzker have such a love between them when there's such a difference in their ways? Rabbi Yitzhak Lvorka, where the Kotzker was angry and on fire and screaming and yelling and pushing and castigating, so Rabbi Yitzhak Lvorka was loving and gentle and giving and patient. So Rabbi Yitzhak Lvorka said the following. He says that the difference between myself and the Rebbe from Kotzk is like the difference between a wagon that's an express wagon from Warsaw to Lublin. On the express, means that the wagon is going to go directly from Warsaw to Lublin and will not pick up anybody along the way. If you're prepared to travel directly from Warsaw to Lublin without any stops along the way, then you are welcomed on that wagon. But he said, Rabbi Yitzhak Lvorka said, that there are all kinds of villages and little shtetlach along the way between Varsha, between Warsaw and Lublin. So there are some wagon drivers who will stop along the way between Warsaw and Lublin to pick up those people that live in those little shtetlach. So Rabbi Yitzhak Lvorka said, this is the difference between the Kotzker and myself. In Kotzk, only those who are traveling express, direct, from Varsha to Lublin are allowed to disembark on the journey, are welcomed into Kotzk. Only if you're prepared to go the Tachlis. But he says, as far as I'm concerned, and he says, Etzli Bavarka, Metaplim, Bechol Noseya, and Noseya, in Varka, we take care of every single traveler, as long as his Ashaponov Lekivun Hamatara, as long as he wants to end up in Lublin, even if he's not able to get on in Varsha, or maybe he has to get off a little bit and take another one. In other words, I'm running the local. I'm running the local, and my friend the Kotzker is running the express. The Kotzker used to say, it's a famous saying from the Kotzker, that all I want in this world is to have 10 chassidim who are prepared to detach themselves from all things of this world and will go with me together onto the roofs and the mountains and to scream out in a voice that will resound from one end of the world to the other, Hashem Hu Elokim. That was the call of the Kotzker. He used to scream and yell at all the others who said that they don't belong. There's a famous thing. He said that they didn't belong and that they're bothering him, annoying him, and they're distracting him. They said that the Kotzke was, there was a young man that once came to Kotzke, and the Kotzke started, he walked in, he was a genius, this young man, and the Kotzke started yelling at him, Kedarko, and the Kotzke said, what do you want from me? Why'd you come here? So he said, I came here to find God. So the Kotzke started screaming, you came here to find God? He says, he started to tell all the chassidim, hear this? What's the matter? God doesn't live in Warsaw, you have to bother me over here? Why do you have to come to Kotzke to bother me for God? God lives in Warsaw. So the fellow didn't know what to do. Then the Kotzke, they say, grabbed him by his payas, and said, if you, listen to me, young man, if you came here to find yourself, I'll get you a bench. If you came here to find God, you can find him in Warsaw also. That's what he said. We'll talk more about Kotzke. It's a different way. It's a different way. There's a famous story, just in the relationship, this is just a little bit in parentheses, the relationship between Kotzke and Rebbe Lavorka, which is so moving, their relationship, the differences between them, it's so moving. There's a story that I once told, brought down in different, there are different schos of this story by the tzaddikim. Shlomo Karlebach told it one way. I saw it in different ways, but Derech Klal, the story tells us that after Rebbe Yitzchak Vurka passed away, the Kotzke was very disturbed. He met with the Vurka's son, Reb Mendel of Vurka. And the Kotzke said, Reb Mendel of Vurka says to Reb Mendel Kotzke, what's the matter? I haven't heard from my father. It's already passed the Shiva, and I haven't heard anything from my father. I haven't heard from the other world. I haven't heard that thing. So Mendel Kotzke says, you know, I was worried about the same thing. I didn't hear from your father. Shiv had already ended, and I didn't hear from your father. So I decided I was going to go find him. So Kotzke said, you know the story. It's a beautiful story. The Kotzke said, so I went into that world, and when I went into that world, I went to seek my friend, Reb Yitzchak Vurka, and I came to the place of Avraham Avinu in Shemayim, and I asked Avraham Avinu, where's Reb Yitzchak Vurka? And Avraham Avinu says, he was here a little while ago, I don't know what happened to him. And I went to Yitzchak and to Yaakov and to Moshe and Aaron, and I went to the Heichel of Mashiach, and I said, Mashiach said, Kena, where's my friend, where's Reb Yitzchak Vurka? So Mashiach says, Reb Yitzchak was here a little while, he's gone, we don't know where he is. So I went, and I went looking, finally I met some Malachim. And I asked these Malachim, you have to tell me, where's my friend Reb Yitzchak Vurka? The Kotzke saying this whole mice over to the son. Where's my friend Reb Yitzchak Vurka? And the Malachim told me a place the Kotzke said that I can't even describe to you. The terror and the fear that gripped me when I had to go to that place. And he said, and I passed through horrible, horrible things and awesome things in that place. Until finally, I was going through a forest, whatever that means in that world. I was going through a forest, and I heard a sound, the likes of which I had never heard in my life. Such a noise, such a rash, I never heard in my life. And as I was able to get out of this, finally I was able to find my way out of this forest, and there was the strangest sight I had ever seen. I saw an ocean, and the waves of this ocean ascended into the highest, highest heights of Shemayim. And I saw your father, Reb Yitzchak, sitting on a rock, holding on to his old shtekel that he had in this world, his old stick, sitting by a rock, looking out at that ocean. So I went over to him and I said, Yitzchak, what's going on? What are you doing over here? By Avraham Avinu, by Mashiach, they have a place. Everybody's waiting for you over there. What are you doing? Where are we? What is this place? So Reb Yitzchak Vurka said, they say he took his stick, Reb Mendel Kotzke said he took his stick, and he pointed to this ocean that was crashing with such a noise, this huge ocean. And Reb Yitzchak Vurka said, that ocean is an ocean of tears. This is the tears of the Jewish people since Kabbalah Satayrah. And I swore that I would not go into my place in Gan Eden until these tears were gone, until they dried up. I would not leave this place. In the same way that when I was in the world down below, I never left a Jew with tears, I refuse to leave this place, this ocean of tears, until Mashiach will come and the ocean will be dried up. It's a story from Yitzchak Vurka. So in Kotzke, the Rebbe said, all I want is 10 chassidim to come with me to the top of to the rooftops and to mountaintops to scream that there's a God. In Vurka, there's a saying, Neilech v'nasav kol tipas zeya. This is what the Vurka used to say. Let us go and collect any little drop of perspiration. Listen to this. Neilech v'nasev kol tipa zeya. The Vurka's call was not let us go with 10 people up to a rooftop. The Vurker, Rabbi Yitzchak Vurker said, let us go and gather. He told us, see them, kol tipa zeya, any little drop of perspiration. V'chol anocha, what's an anocha? Any sigh, any krechts, shall call a Yehudim haboim lakan. Let us gather the drops of perspiration and the sighs, the anochas, the krechts of Jews who have come here. Hashoyefim lios toivim, Jews who want to be better. And he says, kach yevotzer, he says, in due respect, in all respect to my friend the Kosker, he says, kach yevotzer hagavo v'kadosh. We have to form a great mountain. Whereas my friend, Reb Mendel from Kosker, wants to take 9 other Jews and go to the top of a mountain and to scream, there's a God in this world. I say, let's take the drops of perspiration. Let's take the krechses, the anochas, the cries of Jewish people. That's the ocean of tears. Let's take the ocean of tears and perspiration of simple Jews trying to be better. And that itself is a mountain. He says, let's create from those drops of perspiration, from the Mesiris Nefesh, from the crying of simple Jews, kach yivotzer ha-gavo v'kodesh, a great and holy mountain will be formed. Shebemtzus nagir l'shmei roim ha-kedoshim ha-genuzim. That with this great, on this great mountain, we can climb. The greatest tzaddikim can climb the mountain of simple Jewish tears and perspiration and reach the highest shemayim ha-kedoshim ha-zakim, ha-tahayim ha-taharim. This was another split that took place in Peshischa. Peshischa Kotsk, the Kotsker brand of Peshischa, and the Vurka brand of Peshischa. They remained always friends, and among the followers also there's deep, close friendships. It wasn't with an anger, it wasn't with a machloikis, but it was a split. From the side of Peshischa went through the son of Rabunim, and the side that went to Kotsk. Back in Tomashov, the system there in Tomashov where the Kotska was, the system was Davka not, the Kotska did not let the students stay there the entire year. The great followers were not permitted to remain. The Kotska used to chase them away that they should go home. The Kedusha Rim used to go to Varsha in Warsaw, and he sat there in a room teaching Torah to a group of Talmidim in Varsha. The Reb Henochel from Alexander became the Rav of Alexander, of Gritz and of Alexander, and so on and so forth. There was only one who did not leave the Kotsker, and that was the Reb Mordechai Yosef from Izhbitza. Now, if any of you know what later on happened between the Izhbitza and the Kotsker, then that's particularly ironic. That during all the years that all the other followers of the Kotsker went away, there was only one who remained with him continuously, and that's Reb Mordechai Yosef. The new Iluyim, the new students, the Talmid Chacham, the young men who were arriving from all over Poland, they were placed under the charge of Reb Mordechai Yosef. He was their madrich, the Kotzker was the admor, was the rebbe, but they were given to Reb Mordechai Yosef to take care of until they would be properly prepared to learn from the Kotzker. Among the Talmidim who arrived at that time in Tomashov was the great tzaddik Reb Leibel Eger, the grandson of Reb Akiva Eger. This was considered to be the greatest victory of the Chassidim in history. That Reb Akiva Eger's grandson went over to Kotzk, went over to the Kotzker, to Tomashov. Reb Leibel Eger and Reb Mordechai Yosef from Izhbitza were to become very, very, very close. Reb Leibel Eger, after the Kotzker died, became the closest disciple of Reb Mordechai Yosef. Also there was the Rebbe Reb Yechiel Meir Gustanina, Reb Sholem Labatover. These are all tzaddikim which we'll talk about. And all of these were under the guidance of Reb Mordechai Yosef from Izhbitza. By this time, things had gotten so big, had grown so much in Tomashov, that the Kotzker made the decision to move to Kotsk, and he instructed Reb Mordechai Yosef to remain in Tomashov, and to take care there of the younger Hasidim, to sort of be like a, I don't want to say minor leagues, that's always to be careful, but like a prep school for Kotsk. First you had to spend time in Tomashov by the Rebbe Reb Mordechai Yosef. What? A farm team. Okay, a farm team for Kotsk. And the Rebbe Mordechai Yosef from time to time would go to Kotsk, taking with him some of the Talmidim who he felt were ready. He would take a few of the Chassidim whom he felt were ready to meet the Kotsker. They would usually come to Kotsk and be screamed at and disciplined. And then the Rav Mordechai Yosef would have to try to put them back together again. And he would, and this was the way things had been, were moving at that time in Kutsk. Now this time the problem began to develop. This is when the problem began to develop. We'll just start here. We saw that really the Kutsk only wanted a minyan. Therefore, he viewed the onslaught of followers as something that was completely, completely contradictory to his plan, and he felt that it was sapping him spiritually. And we'll end tonight, I'll read to you a moshel that he said. Now there's a very haunting moshel that the Kutsker is known to have said, and you get a picture about how dissatisfied he was with Kutz becoming a major movement. He was really hoping for a small little chevra of tzaddikim, and instead it became a world movement. This is the moshel. He said there was a Jew who had a snuff box. Everybody knows, you know what a snuff box is, right? We've seen that. The snuff box, the tabak. There was a Jew who had a snuff box made of a goat horn. He lost it and went around crying. Not only do we live in the darkness of Golos, but such a fate had to befall me, to lose my snuff box that was made of a goat's horn. So the moshel of the Kutsker continues. The holy goat came to him. This holy goat wanders the earth and has horns which reach the heavens and kiss the stars. The goat, seeing the Jew crying, bent down and said to him, "Cut off a piece of my horn and make yourself a new snuff box." The Jew did this and put snuff in and went to the Beis HaMedrash. All the Jews snuffed and were full of awe. They smelled in that snuff box Gan Eden Mamish. They asked, "Where did you get the snuff box?" And he told them about the holy goat that reached its horns down from heaven, and I cut off a piece of the horn and I made the snuff box. The whole Olam ran out in search of the holy goat. The whole island ran out looking for that holy goat. It was wandering with its horn, touching the skies and kissing the sun, moon and stars. The crowd caught it. The goat was good-natured and let everyone take a piece of horn. Everyone took and made a snuff box. Among the Jews there was joy and gladness, but the holy goat wanders the world without horns. A merdeka moshel. It's a very, very deep moshel. All I can say is, from this moshel of the Kutsker, we can get the feeling that the Rebbe from Kutsk looked at himself as being the holy goat. His followers derived great joy and gladness, but the cost was too great for him to bear. And the response to his suffering of becoming torn apart by the Chassidim, each one wanting a piece of the holy goat, the result of all this was that he began to seclude himself. And this is the famous segira, the seclusion of the Kutsker. The last 20 years of his life, he lived almost completely alone in a room. He hardly ever appeared. When he would appear, he would generally appear with a talus over his face. He would storm into the Beis Medrash, scream at some of the Chassidim why they were there and what they wanted from him, and then would leave. He had spent that time, the 20 years in seclusion, in his room, with an opening there to hear Kriyas HaTorah and so on. And there were a select few who were allowed to actually spend time talking to him. The Avni Nezer, who was going to be his son-in-law, the Avni Nezer and a few others, Chidush Arim, were allowed to go in. Otherwise, he lived pretty much in seclusion. Chassidim would gather outside the door, they say twice a day, with kvitloch that were thrown in, and the Kutsker used to pick up the kvitloch in his hands and would just scream out without looking at them, would yell out, "You go to invest in that business in Lodz, this one, you should marry that girl from this place," and he would scream out the H's, and then he would throw all the kvitloch outside the door and would start screaming at them from the scream that they should leave him alone. There are many, many things surrounding that. There were many theories. Most of them were publicized by people who were against the Chassidim about what happened and what led to the final thing. The Shabbos, there's a famous Maisa, which I'll talk about when we talk about the Kutsker, what happened that Shabbos when the Kutsker left and went into seclusion. At any rate, this was the beginning of the split that was going to take place, which will continue with the Mitzvah Shem, the split that would take place between the Izhbitzer and the Kotzker, where the Izhbitzer simply felt that it was impossible anymore for the people to live this way. And as much as he loved and admired and feared the Kotzker, he felt this was not the way of the Baal Shem Tov. This was not what the Baal Shem Tov had in mind. So we'll begin Mitzvah Shem next time. I have to apologize.